Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 8, The Sons of Sagara Meet Lord Kapiladev, text number 23. Tam tam aham jnana ganam svabhava pradvastamaya gunabheda mohai sananda nadya munibhira vibhavyam katham vimura paribhavyam yami. Tam, that personality, twam, unto you, aham, I, jnana ganam, your lordship who are concentrated knowledge. Svabhava, by spiritual nature. Pradvasta, freed from contamination. Mayaguna, caused by the three modes of material nature. Beda mohai, by exhibition of the bewilderment of differentiation. Sananda adyai, by such personalities as the four Kumaras. Sanat Kumara, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sanatana. Munibhi, by such great sages, Vibhavyam, worshipable, Katam, how, Vimuda, being fooled by the material nature, Paribhavayami, I think of you? Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Sages freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, sages such as the four Kumaras, Sanat, Sanaka, Sanandana, and Sunatana, are able to think of you who are concentrated knowledge. But how can an ignorant person like me think of you? Prabhupada, the word Svabhava refers to one's own spiritual nature, original constitutional position. When situated in this original position, the living entity is unaffected by the modes of material nature. Sagunan samititaitan brahma puyaya kalpate. Bhagavad Gita 14:26. As soon as one is freed from the influence of the three modes of material nature, he is situated on the Brahman platform. Vivid examples of personalities thus situated are the four Kumaras and Narada. Such authorities can, by nature, understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but a conditioned soul is not freed from the influence of material nature, is unable to realize the Supreme. In Bhagavad Gita 2:45, therefore, Krishna advises Arjuna, Nais trigunya vishaya veda, one must rise above the influence of the three modes of material nature. One who stays within the influence of the three modes is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We're supposed to rise above the three modes of material nature. But the only way of doing it, we know the conclusion is by mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityayatam brahma bhuyaga kapute. One who is engaged in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature, and attains the level of Brahman. So it's quite easy. We just have to 24 hours a day, forever, engage in devotional service. The only problem is we have a lot of other things we want to do too. And it's not so easy because, as Krishna told Arjuna, that you're not your body. And I think he meant it for all of us. We're not this body. So it's quite simple. We're not the body. So therefore, why should we be affected by anything material? But the fact is we are. And the way of getting out of that affection is by learning tolerance. Matra sparsha stukondiya chitoshna sukadukada agamai paino nityastam titikshva sabharata. That the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and the disappearance in good cause are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer season that arise from sense perception, O Sina Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. So, tolerance, it's a little difficult. It takes a lot of practice. And we're not just tolerating for the sake of tolerating. We're tolerating so we can concentrate our minds upon Krishna. Just to learn, just toleration in itself will not save us. Any more than if you grab hold of a crocodile's jaws and keep holding them, he's not going to eat you. Unfortunately, after some time you might get tired, and when you fall asleep, then you're his next meal. Similarly, trying to control the senses say, do this, and I say no, and they say do this, I say no, and they say do that, and I say no, 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 no. And finally I say, all right, yes. And then it's all over. Or as they say, the mafia says, give them a deal they can't refuse. So that's our senses in mind. They know exactly what we're looking for, the bottom line. Therefore, one has to practice tolerance and at the same time fix the consciousness upon Krishna. Tani sarvani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartam vimudatma mityatras uchite. That was close, but it was the wrong verse. Tani samyamya samyamya yaste manasasmaran. Tani sarvani samyamya something. Sitava matparaha, bishehi esyendriyani, tasya pragya pitishtita. Well, he said, got it the fourth time. Tani samyani samyamya. So close to the other one. Tani samyami samyamya. Ya aste, it's not there. 61. Yukta Sita Matra. So, the verse, both of the ones I was quoting are quite similar. One is Tani Sarvani Samyamya Yukta Sita Matra. So, Samyamya means to put under complete control. But, Yukta Asita Matra. But, in order to do that and not get disturbed or become less disturbed, then, yukta, one has to engage in devotional service. One has to connect with Krishna, and that connection is called matparaha. That matparaha means to accept certain things, which we may not like to accept. Like, for instance, everything belongs to Krishna, including my body. So whatever we do, we should be asking Krishna, is it all right? Is this what you want me to do? But how often do we do that during the day? We think, does Krishna want me to do this? What Krishna doesn't want me to do? Maybe I should carefully think about what Krishna wants me to do. I don't have time to think. I got to do it. I'm in a hurry. I'll ask him tomorrow. No, in the mode of passion, we're quite a bit in a hurry. In the mode of ignorance, we couldn't care less what Krishna wants us to do. Whatever we do is divine. As far as we're concerned, it's exactly what I'm supposed to do, whatever I feel like doing. That's the, And the mode of passion, we don't have time to ask Krishna. And the mode of goodness, well, the mode of goodness is closer to reality. Then we're actually thinking what Krishna wants us to do on the basis of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, as well as the inspiration of the super soul within the heart. The inspiration of the super soul within the heart means he gives us the intelligence to see it clearly what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is saying. It's not that Guru says something, Sadhu says something, Shastra says something, and I hear a beep, 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 beep. What's going on? What is he trying to say? Hey, a little louder. Beep, 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 beep. No, ultimately it's up to the super soul to tell us what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is telling us, or trying to tell us. If the super soul doesn't think we want to hear what Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is saying, then Krishna doesn't talk to us at all. He doesn't reveal it. Krishna's talking is not just like ordinary talking. Krishna's talking is realization. Because there's no difference between Krishna speaking and reality. It's an experience when we actually hear Krishna. That's called realization. So when we actually become closer to Krishna, then we start realizing. So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra can talk to us all day long. We won't understand anything. Sure, sure, right. Yeah, yeah, sure, okay. Thanks a lot. No, the super soul has to reveal to us what the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra is saying. And they only do it because Tesham Sadatam Yuktanam Bhajantam Priti Purvakam. In other words, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, ultimately, they're only telling us how to engage in steady devotional service with enthusiasm. That's the whole thing. There's nothing more. They may tell us nice stories. We may come entertained. We may even get a few jokes in sometimes. But ultimately, the only thing that really counts is how much we increase our steadiness and our enthusiasm for pure devotional service. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time, all the instructions. Of course, some things may be more indirect, like I always emphasize we should chew our food and savor the taste of Krishna, because if we don't do that, then we'll be looking around. The senses will drive us to try to enjoy something else in this world. We're not 100%, unless we were absorbed completely in Krishna consciousness, we're not aloof from what the senses are demanding from us. The more we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, the more then one becomes oblivious to the demands of the senses. One is not disturbed by them. It's just like if you're in the middle of the... Prabhupada gave the example one time when he was in Vrindavan, when he came to Vrindavan, and discovered that actually, although his disciples kept on telling him that the Krishna Balaram temple was almost finished, and therefore Prabhupada invited the chief minister from Maharashtra and all other dignitaries to come for the opening. But when Prabhupada got to the Vrindavan construction site, it was just a bunch of bricks and some sacks of cement. So Prabhupada was not exactly pleased. And he became furious. He was so furious, he appeared to be like Yamaraj at the time of devastation, or Shiva dancing the Nataraj, the end of the destruction of the universe. So the devotees were Prabhupada was so fearsome that the devotees were hiding, afraid to catch his glance and be burnt to ashes. So finally, after an hour or so, or maybe more, probably of his fury, Prabhupada went to his room, which was also under construction. It was four walls without a roof. And he has Prabhupada was doing something in his room. And one devotee came in fearfully because he had to tell Prabhupada something. And Prabhupada was completely calm and collected. Now usually, if we get angry for a couple of hours, I don't know if anyone has ever had that experience, real anger for a couple of hours, we'd be burnt to ashes ourselves. We'd lie down in the bed and try to recover for the next couple of weeks. Drink a lot of coconut juice, calm down. But Prabhupada was completely calm, undisturbed by the situation. So the devotee is quite surprised, and he asked Prabhupada, how is it possible that you were so furious just a few moments ago, and now you're completely calm, as if nothing happened? And Prabhupada said, a pure devotee, he's just like, he's in the depths of the ocean, and thinking about Krishna. Absorbed in Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes, he's absorbed in the spiritual world. He's living in the spiritual world with Krishna. But if one is in the depths of the ocean, then he's not aware of exactly what's going on the surface of the ocean. He may be aware of it, but he's not affected by it. There may be waves, there may be fishes swimming on the surface, there may even be a typhoon or something, a big weather change. But the person in the depths of the ocean is not affected by what's going on the surface. So a pure devotee, he may apparently be effective, but that's simply part of his pastimes for the sake of preaching. But deep inside, he's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and therefore he's unaffected. But we may not be on that platform. Probably we're not. And therefore, we can't imitate a pure devotee. Because if we get too much, because we're also... We may have some depth of our Krishna consciousness at times, but also we may be skimming the surface and therefore get affected by what's going on externally around us. And if it becomes too overwhelming, then we may take shelter of something other than Krishna consciousness. We may call out to Mommy, Mommy, help me, save me. Like the pilots, they have this black box on these airplanes. And before the plane crashes, they recorded the last words of the pilot. And in most of the cases, the pilots, right before the plane crashes, they call out, Mommy! But Mommy can't help. They don't call out Krishna. Krishna can help. They don't know that. And therefore they take shelter of the wrong thing. They take shelter, because they don't take shelter of Krishna, they take shelter of something else. The natural tendency is that when things are going alright, then we no problem taking shelter of Krishna. And when things go wrong, then we check our bank balance, we check our vitamin pills, do I have a dentist appointment? Can Mommy send me a donation? When things go too bad, then we take shelter of something else. And it's natural. It's not like we think about it. It just spontaneously happens. Even Draupadi, when she was being disrobed by Dushyant, she had one hand holding the robe and one hand up in the air calling out for Krishna. She didn't trust Krishna enough to put both hands up till she figured out it's not going to work. And then she put both hands up. Oh, let's see what happens. Oh, Krishna, help! And Krishna came and saved her. So whether we know it or not, we have one hand on our sari, one hand on our dhoti, and we're calling out, Hare Krishna, help! Therefore, we have to go through experience. As Prabhupada said, a pure devotee is an experienced devotee. We have to go through experience where we put a little trust in Krishna and we see what the result is, whether Krishna actually helps us a little bit more when we put a little bit more trust in Him. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, see if I can quote it. Satisfaction of the self-realized soul is the secret of advancement in devotional service. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. Unless there is submission and service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. A lot of words there, but I don't know if we caught that. Submission and service. So now it's describing how to satisfy the spiritual master. Inquiries and submission constitute the proper combination for spiritual understanding. So we have to be a little inquisitive, like who's Krishna, who I am, little things, trying to answer questions like that. How can I get out of these miseries, material existence? Sanatana Goswami. And submission. We can ask all the questions I want. We get all the answers, and I say, well, thanks a lot. It's not the answer I wanted. Can you try again? No, we have to, if we're sincerely interested, then we have to be submissive. Yes, it's not what I wanted, but I'll follow it anyhow. Unless there is submission, and therefore service, inquiries from the learned spiritual master will not be effective. One must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses him with genuine spiritual understanding. So it's not that we join the Hare Krishna movement, Krishna is God, I'm his servant, everything's all right, we have prasadam, I have a place to sleep, everything's cool, it's all right. Everything should go on nicely. We're not in the material world anymore. They keep on telling us we're in the spiritual world, and therefore if there's any demon, Krishna will come and take care of him without even my having to ask. Well, then we haven't read the Bhagavatam. We haven't read the Bhagavatam, which is full of problems for the devotees. The ordinary people have problems, but the devotees have worse problems. Ordinary people take intoxication or try to speculate to avoid their problems, try to forget. But the devotees keep on getting, super soul keeps on saying, beep, beep, you're the cause. You're getting the reaction because of what you did. Don't blame me. Don't blame her. Don't blame him. It's you. You're the cause. Wait a second, Krishna. I didn't join the Hare Krishna movement to hear that. I came here to be happy. You're making me miserable. No, one has to pass the test. One has to pass the test, like Prahlad Maharaj or the Pandavas. Their lives were not exactly pleasant. If you had a father who was ruling the universe, you'd be probably pretty happy. If he tried to kill you every day, you'd probably get a little paranoid after a while. Kill you, not just in an ordinary way, throw you over a cliff. Hi, son. Let me show you the view. It's beautiful. Hi, son. Good morning. Did I show you my elephant collection? Here. So Harini Kashyapu was constantly, every day, trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj. So that's a test, whether Prahlad Maharaj is able to maintain his Krishna consciousness and finally say to his father, Father, I give up, I surrender, no more. You're a god. Now Prahlad Maharaj said, you're a rascal, you're a fool, my dear father. You're the super Muda. You're the super fool. He never gave his connection with Krishna, nor did the Pandavas, even they lost everything. They were in the forest. Imagine you're being the emperor of the world, and then suddenly you lose everything. One throw of the dice, and you don't have anything. You have to live in Tivoli Park for 14 years. And eat the acorns that fall off the tree. Hopefully they're organic at least. No, I mean the Pandavas had to endure so much. They were put in a house of lack. set on fire. They ran out of the house, and a man-eater was there, Hindimba, was there to eat them. They're on the battlefield, everyone throwing atomic bombs at them. It was a difficult life. And yet they were always Krishna conscious. They didn't become distracted by it. So this is what we have to practice. We have to see that the material nature is not going to be very kind to the devotees, because the material nature wants to test the devotees, just like it wants to test the devotees to see how much we're going to take shelter of Krishna in the midst of distress. So at the time of death, we don't think, well, I lived a very happy life. Prasadam was there every day. It was hot. Everything was nice. The devotees loved me. I loved the devotees. Everything was nice. I had a nice bed every day. I did exactly whatever I wanted to do. Nothing. I never got sick. No one ever said a bad word to me. And now I'm going to die. Wait a second. I'm not prepared for this. Where is this pain coming from? Wait a second. I don't want to leave my home, you know. It's time for Prasadam. I can't die. I was looking forward. It was a Sunday feast. This pizza and ice cream. Wait a second. I'm not going to die. Sorry. No, we have to practice so at the time of death we're undisturbed. We're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that we're not even noticing. As Dhruva Maharaj, he didn't even notice when he left his body. Or Narada Muni didn't notice. It was like lightning and thunder appear simultaneously. So when Narada Muni left his body, he immediately got a spiritual body. So we have to be so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we're not even aware of the fact that we're leaving our body. We're not even identified with this gross and subtle material body. So that's the practice of Krishna consciousness. We simultaneously try to act in goodness. We're not trying to cause ourselves problems. It's not that we, in the middle of the winter, we go to our bathtub and we throw ice in it just to learn tolerance. And as soon as I get a little adjusted to it, I throw more ice into it just to cause myself suffering more. I mean, that's all right if you can actually focus your mind upon Krishna. That is a kind of yoga, where they surround themselves with fire during the summer and they dip into the cold water in the winter. But we don't have to do that. We have to focus our minds on Krishna in any normal circumstance. And in Kali Yuga, the normal circumstances are distressful enough. But we don't have to artificially make anything more distressful than it already is. Besides that, our bodies are so delicate that we do anything wrong, we'll be suffering for the rest of our lives. Cursing Krishna, why didn't you give me the intelligence to avoid this? He is. That's what this class is about. We should be careful how we deal with this body and try to constantly think about Krishna. We can come to the platform during the day of constantly thinking about Krishna without deviation. Then let's see if we can do it when a little unpleasant something happens to us, whether we're still steady in our remembrance. So let us be steady in the seemingly normal situation, and then when things become a little bit disturbed, let's see if we can practice steadiness in devotional service then too. Then, when one becomes completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, unfailing in all circumstances, then one can transcend the modes of material nature and come to the level of Brahman. And then from Brahman realization, one is undisturbed and one can constantly think about Krishna and we absorb the consciousness more and more, become more and more purified, even from the Brahman platform, so that one is fully absorbed. One is actually entering into Krishna's pastimes, one's original spiritual body. Just like if you put the iron in the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter, and then it becomes like the fire. So when the soul is always remembering Krishna, never forgetting him, then Krishna comes closer and closer, and our spiritual consciousness, our spiritual identity, our spiritual body manifests itself till one day we wake up and realize who we actually are and what we're actually, we start doing what we're actually supposed to be doing. Pure loving Krishna in devotional service. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for lecture. Rada bi vas vprašala, ko zanimivo, ne, še nisem to razmišljala, da kako Krišno vprašati čez dan, kaj bi pa ti naredil, kaj pa ti misliš?
Was that in English?
Yes. Yeah.
Sprashava means question.
Yes, yes.
At least I understand some of it.
I never ask myself in the... Yeah. Dajte mi priložnost, da se mečka naučim angliško. Yeah.
Slisha means to hear. Slisha, to hear.
Yeah. I never...
Resuming to understand. Yeah.
I never ask myself, you're talking about, can we ask ourselves, we have some problem in head, Krishna, how you help me, what do you mean? How can I
do this? Of course
we
can ask Krishna. That's up to Krishna how he answers himself. Krishna's not a dead stone.
What am I asked to listen, my heart or something, for answer?
Well, if you don't understand whether Krishna answered you or not, that means that you haven't heard Krishna. Krishna will tell you. The best way he can tell you is he's telling us all the time. Just like, what do you have in your hand? Uh-huh. What do you have in your hand right now?
Microphone.
Microphone. So who told you that?
Krishna.
Well, it wasn't me. Did you whisper her? What was?
Rhetorical.
So it was Krishna told you. Otherwise, how did you remember it?
Še vedno za mene to zelo težko sprejeti, da lahko vprašam Krishna za kakšen odgovor.
What is
it?
Well, you just look at the microphone, you ask Krishna, what is it? And he told you it's a microphone. So you were, doesn't seem to be embarrassed about asking whether it's a microphone. What is it?
Ampak veste, za mikrofon je lahko, ko pa so težka vprašanja, ko si postavljam pretežko dilemo.
Difficult, not just microphone, there are more
so
difficult
practice
questions.
With microphones. Then you get some, like sometimes we try to remember something, you know, like what does this mean in such and such language? What is the word for this? We can't remember, and then we're praying, what do? We're desiring. All we're doing is desiring, and then when Krishna... when he sees our sincere desire, he may give us the answer. Microfono. So we're doing that all the time, asking Krishna. It's just that we don't give him any credit. He's talking to us all the time, telling everything we're doing, he's telling us. So, but when it comes to something difficult, we think, well, Krishna, you know, this is beyond you. I don't want to bother you because you may give me an answer I don't want to hear. So just, you know, take it's Chaturmasya right now. Take a rest, Krishna. No, we don't believe that Krishna in our hearts is going to tell us. We should go before the deities and tell, as Prabhupada said, we should tell the deity, this is my problem. Tell them, just wait for them to answer it, see if they're not, hey Krishna, this is my problem, you know, you got 5 minutes, I'm in a hurry. You do want prasadam today, don't you? we go before the deity and we say, this is my problem, if you can kindly help me. Similarly, the super soul in the heart, we ask him something. And then Krishna says, well, look here, Krishna may give us a hint, look up in Bhagavad Gita. Or, you know, or ask this devotee. Krishna can help us. We may not be qualified to hear him directly, but he tells us how we can hear him indirectly, which is as good as hearing him directly. If we're sincere, if we ask, how can I find the answer to this? And just wait for Krishna to give us the intelligence. Or if we're not qualified, then Krishna says, we'll try to engage in devotional service a little bit more enthusiastically, a little bit more steadily, and maybe the answer will come. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he had some very learned scholars visiting him one time from a university. And he said, well, I'm a little busy now. Maybe you can help out in the pujari room. And so these learned scholars went to the pujari room and started to clean the brass. And then at the end of cleaning the brass, they came to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. And they said, we already got all the answers. Thank you. Anything else? Yes.
I would like kindly to thank you for the lecture. And my question is, under what circumstances or conditions is allowed to ask Krishna for help so we do not make offenses?
Well, if I'm beating on a devotee, and I say, Krishna, I can't beat him hard enough, can you come and help me? Well, that wouldn't be a very good request. But if we're trying to serve Krishna and his devotees, we can ask for it. On their behalf, we can ask for some help. Like we pray all the time for the well-being of the devotees. So Krishna likes that.
Yeah.
And even for this body, if we understand it's Krishna's body, and I need it for Krishna's service, then I ask Krishna, please help me maintain the body better. It's like if you have a car, and suddenly there's a flat tire, you say, well, I'm not going to fix it, because I'm not the car. Now the car is being used in Krishna's service, so you have to fix it. So this body is being used in Krishna's service, so we have to take care of it. Anything else? Voila. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.